Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are across the globe. Welcome to Karma Broadcast with Esther Austin. Well, today I've managed to get hold of two guys who've acted in an amazing film called The Human Experience. And it's a film very much about consciousness. It's a film very much asking the questions, who am I? What am I? What is life about? Very much basically exploring human consciousness, human experience. So welcome, Michael and Jeffrey.
Thank you very much, Esther.
Okay, and just to say that I'm all the way in London and you're all the way in Brooklyn, New York. So welcome. So I'm just going to farm this out to either of you. Initially, The Human Experience, you know, what is the film about in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, what is the film about? I'd say the film in a nutshell is about a group of guys who are asking a question that I think everyone in the world is asked once or twice in their life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And really asking the question of, you know, what's this life all about?
Right.
What's the meaning? What's the purpose of it?
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell. You know, we asked those questions and we wanted to take a journey. You know, we wanted to go deeper into asking the question, you know, have we forgotten what it means to be a human being?
Okay.
You know, today's world.
Right, and what got you involved in this film in the first place? Because I believe it's got something to do with where you're coming from in your own personal lives.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, let me just give you a brief little history about Grassroots Films, which is our film company, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Very brief introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know, 1967, there was an old Catholic priest who started a house
mm-hmm.
called the St. Francis House.
Yeah.
And this house was really dedicated for people who kind of needed a second chance at life.
Mm-hmm.
People who were struggling, either they came out of jail or off of drugs or they, you know, really bad backgrounds.
Mm.
Didn't just have the freshest start, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he started this house, and then my dad took this house over about 20 years ago when it was on the verge of being closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is a real brief synopsis of the whole thing here, but basically all the guys who come from that house created this film company called Grassroots Films.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. So it's deep because, you know, we don't all come from the greatest background.
Mm.
And we ask these questions, you know, and there's a lot of people out there who maybe come from better backgrounds than us,
yeah.
but they're asking the same questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's life about? What does it mean? What's the meaning of it all? So, you know, for us in particular, this film, The Human Experience, is a very personal, in-depth look into our lives. I mean, you know, everything you see in the film is real,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty legit.
Right. So in terms of some of what's happened to you before you actually went on this journey of exploration throughout the film, some of what's happened to you in terms of your own personal experiences, can you share a little bit about some of what you've been through and then we can sort of go into, you know, evolve into journeying with the film itself?
Sure, like my personal background?
Yeah, and this is who am I speaking to here? Is this
Jeff.
Jeffrey. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Yeah, my personal background, real quick, in a nutshell, is pretty much I born and raised in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with my two older brothers and my mother and I, and I lived in a very abusive home.
Right.
When I was 9 years old, my mother and father got a divorce. My brothers left, and it just ended up being my mom and I for many years.
Mm.
And so it was a constant struggle growing up, you know. We grew up very poor, although when I was young, I didn't know we were poor,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great blessing, you know. So anyway, I ended up moving into the St. Francis House because my brother Cliff moved into the St. Francis House when he was 14 years old.
Right, okay.
And when he moved in, he stayed here for X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
He left the house.
Mm-hmm.
He relapsed, went back to his old ways, doing drugs, hanging out with the wrong crowd, and, you know, that whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, you know, he was at the end of his rope, and, you know, the first thing he could think of where he can go to get help was the St. Francis House.
Right, okay.
So he came back again when he was around 21, and I was old enough to come around and visit.
Mm-hmm.
So with his second term being here, I started visiting. I loved the house. I saw it as a place where dreams can come true. And, you know, I have to say honestly, Esther, that being here, several of my dreams have come true.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So really, you know, that's like my life, you know, and it's been working and going to school all while living here at the house. I moved in at the age of 16.
Okay, and how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 23.
Oh, okay, still quite young. Fantastic. And Michael, what about you?
Me, you know, my dad kind of took over this house when, well, I don't know how old I was, but he took over the house about 20 years ago. I was probably, well, I'm 28 now, so I was 8 years old when he had taken over the house. And I moved into the house when I was 18, and that was for me personally. I wanted to get a closer relationship with my pops and stuff. And,
right.
You know, I just wanted to know a little bit more about, I don't know, I guess my own, you know, family history and stuff, you know, and I wanted to, I don't know, I mean, earlier growing up, you know, me and my dad didn't have the greatest relationship and stuff. And, having an opportunity to move in the house, you know, it was a real, you know, both of us had to work at it to make that happen, you know?
Yeah.
But we did, and then, you know, we started this company together, and, you know, things have grown, and, you know, we're at where we're at now.
Fantastic. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the film itself, The Human Experience. I mean, from what I've seen and from what I've read, you guys did have the most amazing experiences on your journey. Can you share some of the most profound, I would say, experiences or interactions with in your travels, because you travel the world to meet various people in various stages of, I would say, living almost in an existence in some of the most challenging circumstances. Can you share some of the most, well, couple that come to mind that really stuck out in your mind about this journey?
The people. The people we met, that's what sticks out. Yeah. Never, you know, I have to be honest with you, something personal is when I, you know, you learn about AIDS in school and that whole, you know, all the STDs and stuff, and when I thought of AIDS, all I can think of was the capital A, capital I, capital D,
yes,
and capital S. That's all I thought of, honestly. But now I put face to the disease because of the people I met in Africa. And that alone is mind-blowing to me, you know? It still blows my mind, like, just, it's like, it just hits me in the heart on a deeper level. It's not just AIDS, because I think of, you know, the people we met who are struggling with that disease, and that they don't have the help they need. They don't have the medicine, you know, that industrialized countries, which they can easily get it, you know? Have that. So for me, meeting the people, getting to know them, getting to sit down with them, share some good laughter, some tears, and some just real relationship, real conversations with the homeless people as well. Just getting to know, you know, I'm sure they weren't born homeless.
Yeah.
You know, they were somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where'd they come from?
Yeah.
You know, how did they become homeless? And what's your name? Kind of thing. And just treat them like a human being.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's incredible, because these are really probably the nicest people you'll ever meet in your whole life.
And
they can teach you so much about life.
And you know, something key that you said there was, you know, when you asked them, what's your name? Because that is just acknowledging them at their most basic human level. And it's a right, you know, what is my name? Give them a name, acknowledge them. You know, there can be nothing more profound than asking someone their name. Because, you know, you know, if you're homeless, obviously people walk past you every day and you become a non-entity. But when someone asks you your name, can you imagine how that makes them feel inside?
They feel like somebody.
That's right. Amazing.
Someone acknowledged them, yeah.
And, I mean, you also spent time in a colony of lepers, is that correct?
Yes, we did.
That was incredible. What was that like?
Honestly, that was pretty intense.
Oh, wow.
We didn't, you know, when we set out on this, we had no idea
you know, what it was going to be like.
Mm.
No, I mean, honestly, I don't think any of us really knew what we were getting ourselves into.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, when we got to this leper colony and we had an opportunity to sit down, I mean, we were uneducated about the disease. We didn't know if we could catch it or if it could be spread to us or if we'd be bringing it home with us. We had no idea.
Mm.
You know, went in there like a bunch of, you know, idiots. You know? But, you know, that's, I don't know. I mean, we went in there like kids, but, you know, after we left, you know, we learned that if we were to contract the disease, you know, we live in an industrialized country like America, I mean, we could get a vaccination and a shot and the whole thing could be cleared up, you know?
Right.
I mean, we learned that leprosy could be wiped off the planet if the right medications got to the right places.
Wow.
Why they don't, that's another movie, you know?
Mm.
But let me tell you something. Going there and have an opportunity to speak to these people who have been pretty much banished by their own people, you know, to live in a colony together. And then what the craziest part of the whole entire thing, Esther, is that the human experience is not just some, like, you know, sad sob story of, like, all these people in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The hope that these people have, that's the real lesson.
Yeah.
You know? And when these people were sitting there telling us that they were happy, that we were there, that we weren't afraid of them and they weren't afraid of us, and that we could sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Their faith.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about faith?
Mm-hmm.
These people know God. You can't argue with them.
Yeah.
You can't argue with these people.
Mm-hmm.
They know what it's all about. They know the importance of relationships with family.
Yes.
With each other. They taught us so much in the short period of time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
That should be college for anybody, you know?
Yes.
Instead of going to college for 6 years and coming out with
travel.
A piece of paper, you're smart, you should go to a leper colony.
Mm. I mean, I feel that people should just travel out and experience or spend time with people that are perceived to be materialistically less well off than yourself, because just briefly, I went to the Cameroon last year to work with some homeless young men on the street, and I managed to interview quite a few of them. And you know, each night they didn't know where they were going to sleep, they didn't know when their next meal was coming, and yet when I spoke to these young men, you know, their hope was that they would get a job, their hope was that they would find their parents, their hope was that, you know, there was something better around the corner. And many of them had been on the street for 10, 15, 20 years. And yet, like you said, it was that hope. And that hope was so real. And that's one thing that really touched me. And I guess for a lot of us in, like you said, in the industrialized world, we've got so much, we just don't realize how much we've got. But that's on a material level, because with these people, it's something that's in the soul.
Oh, you got it.
It's something that comes from the soul. Oh, fantastic. I mean, out of all the experiences that you encountered on your journey, you said the film took 2 years to make, is that correct?
It took a little bit over 1 year.
1 year, okay.
Yeah.
Is there one particular journey or experience that comes to mind that really stands out, that made you really realize how privileged and lucky you were to be in the space that you are in, to be the people that you are?
You know, there's one part in the film, again, when we're in Ghana, and we're speaking with a woman who has, you know, she has HIV and she passed it on to her youngest child. His name is Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
And this part isn't in the film, but you know, there's a moment where she actually takes Calvin and she hands him over to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts him in my arms, you know. And this kid, he was about 2 years old, but he was very, very undernourished.
Yes.
You know, he felt like, he felt a lot younger than 2 years old.
Mm.
And I can't really explain it, but there was like a profound moment of just a different way of looking at life when I was holding this baby in my arms, you know.
Mm.
It was deep.
Mm.
It was really, really deep.
Wow.
And for me, on a personal note, I mean, I keep them in my prayers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and how has this film sort of changed your lives or your outlook on life, your your perception of consciousness of self. It, you know, how has the film helped to maybe even develop that consciousness of self?
Sorry. Well, yeah, no, that's fine. Just the like pretty much how it has affected me personally.
And who? Sorry, this is Jeffrey.
This is Jeff.
Yeah, yes. Hi, Jeff.
Okay. How it affects me personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say like after making this film, during the film process, after the film process, and just even traveling the world and showing it to, you know, over 100,000 people has really changed my life tremendously in a way where my relationship with God is on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know, with doubt, it really is. It brings you closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Brings you closer to people. I mean, it's opened my eyes to, you know what, just treat everybody as, you know, as God would want it, really. You know, you gotta really love your neighbors.
Mm.
You gotta treat people like people. And kind of think less about yourself and more for the other person. And I don't know, it really helped me to also put faith in people, just like have more trust in people and kind of just work together. And I don't know, you know, it's crazy, but it's like, it's not just like, okay, I got it, thank you. It's like, no, it's a conscious effort. You have to remind yourself every day.
Mm.
You know, I have to do this, I have to be good, I have to be great at this, and, you know, just be loving to everybody, because honestly, I think that's one of the things we saw. We can call it this and that, and courage, strength, faith, and but it really, it's love.
Yeah,
love one another.
As the Beatles sang, yeah, all we need is love.
Yeah, that's right, it's
that's
so
right.
True.
It's true.
Cliche, corny.
That's right.
But it is so true, Esther.
Yeah, yeah. And you, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's definitely made me less of a selfish person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of putting other people first, like Jeff said. I think that's, you know, it's so easy, especially living in either New York City or London or any one of these places, it's so easy to just put my headphones in my ears, my iPad in front of my face, not see anybody or anything around me, and just walk, you know,
mm-hmm.
and have no idea of what's going on around me and just live in my own little world.
Mm.
But after doing this whole experience, I can tell you that's not the way we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Supposed to be in relationships with one another.
Mm.
Supposed to take care of one another.
Mm.
You know? Sometimes it's a good way to think, well, maybe that person is less fortunate than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the reason is for me to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah. But
people don't think that.
They don't, because, I mean, there's a sort of paradox here where when you both have mentioned that, you know, you've got to take care of people first, but ultimately, and I mean, it depends on which sort of beliefs or which sort of paradigm you're coming from, but very much, you know, when you take care of yourself, when you learn to love yourself, when you learn to honor yourself, then you can give that back to others, because, and this is my belief, that if you don't have it within, you can't give it. And when we are topped up with that love, when we are topped up with that consciousness of self and how we interact with ourselves, then we can interact with others so much, much better.